I don't know how to do. Right? So, one, the message is good, Pastor Shibeli. Yeah? Can we go one by one? What was Friday morning? Eternal purpose. Friday evening? Cast all your cares upon him. Saturday morning? Come on. He opened the book, right? Right, he opened the book Saturday evening. Bring the book. Sunday morning, Christ is personal. Sunday evening, stay by the well. Wednesday evening, enjoy the pregnancy and destroy the three sons, right? Isn't that beautiful? I'm just going over it because I don't want to forget it. Right, and I think I'd like to hear the messages all over again. So let's turn today to Matthew 18. Are you excited this morning? Yes, okay. Matthew 18. And I've been thinking about this subject in the light of all the messages. So Matthew 18 verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him. Up to seven times. Jesus said, I do not say to you seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. Is this beautiful? I think it's beautiful. Let's pray. Father, thank you. We praise you for this morning. We pray you would give us richly beyond what we can ask or think. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's continue. Verse 28. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Today I want to speak this morning on the subject of grace. You know, what is grace? I think we all understand what is grace, but sometimes grace is not understood. Sometimes. Or sometimes we can understand grace, but we can apply it in the wrong way. And we are going to look through this passage as to what the Lord is trying to communicate about grace. The question is about forgiveness. Shall I forgive seven times? No, 70 times? Seven, or 490 times. And then the parable is this, that the king is settling accounts, and there was one brought to him who owed him what? 10,000 talents. That's a huge amount of money. What is it? A huge. One talent is 16 years of work. Right? Four talents is 64 years of work. This is what? 10,000 talents. And it's very beautiful that he pleads with the master. And it shows here what the master feels about the servant in verse 27. The master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. Isn't that beautiful? That's like us. What is it? It's like us. Right? We never could have been in a place to ask God for forgiveness. While we were yet sinners in Romans 5:8, 2,000 years back, in the mind of God, God had already thought about us. 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on the cross and all our sins were put on him. Isn't that beautiful? And when you and I believed in him, guess what? We were forgiven completely, once and for all. And we were washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, once and for all. And we are going to heaven, once and for all. So those of you who are afraid of dying, Don't be afraid, because you are going to reach the right place well and sound. Is that good? Right? So no fear, because Jesus is here. Is that good? Yeah. Now, this is beautiful, that verse 28, he finds one of his colleagues who owes him 100 denarii, which is 3 months' wages, and he puts his hand on his throat and says, pay me what you owe. Now, what do we see here? There are two sets of people in the church. What are they? Two sets of people. And when I'm speaking, I'm including myself. There's one set of people who appreciate the privilege of grace. Yes, I am what? Forgiven. Yes, I am going to heaven. But there's another set of people who are transformed by the work of grace. There's a big difference. When I live in the privileges of grace, right? I am saved. What do I think? I'm going to heaven. I'm eternally secure. What do I think? I can do what I want. Correct. I can think what I want. I can speak what I want. I can do what I want because I'm eternally secure. Correct? And yes, we are eternally secure, but our understanding of grace is wrong. Romans 6:1. Shall we continue in sin that grace abound? God forbid. Romans 6:15. Right? Shall we continue in sin because we are not under law, under grace? God forbid. See, this is a wrong understanding of grace. What is a wrong understanding? Okay, I am saved, but now I can live the way I want. I can do what I want, say what I want, treat somebody the way I want. Is a wrong understanding of grace. Like, I met a brother, and this is what he said to me. You know, before I came to the Greater Grace Church, the previous church, I was being frightened. You have to come every Sunday. You have to, otherwise God will get angry with you. But once I came to the Greater Grace Church, I knew that, you know, man, it's grace. But you know what that caused him to do? That caused him to not come at all. Are you understanding? Are you getting the point? That's not grace. That is not grace. Grace is not something which is given to me where now I can pull God to the other end and test how much grace he can. That's not grace. Grace is something which is given to me which I don't deserve. Right? And you know what? It impacts my heart. Right? So there is no mention here of the servant thanking the master. There's no mention. In Luke 17, when Jesus healed those 10 lepers, the one Samaritan came, he fell down. There's a mention, but there's no mention. That means it didn't touch his heart, right? And so here we see, this is very interesting, verse 20. So his fellow servants fell, verse 31, his fellow servants saw that they were grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Correct? Have you ever heard this phrase? Somebody catches you doing something and you say, please don't tell Pastor Brian. Please don't tell Pastor Anil. Please don't tell. Correct? Have you heard that phrase? Right? And here we are seeing these fellow servants are going and reporting to the master. Correct? What do you think I tell my wife and daughter? Please don't tell the congregation. See, the thing is, what I'm trying to say today is, why did they report to the master? They reported to the master because they saw something which was not right. Are you understanding? Today, we are more concerned about the pastor not knowing what's happening in our personal lives. And we are totally oblivious to the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ sees everything about our personal lives. Are you understanding that? We are not standing and falling before men. Romans 14:4. We stand and fall before a holy God. And this is one truth we must consider today, this morning. That we don't stand and fall before men. And we can get away with it. But we stand and fall before a holy God. Now, let's turn for a moment to John chapter 1. And I was thinking about this. says here. Verse 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Right? And then it says, verse 17, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now pay attention to grace and truth. What is it? Grace and truth. Grace cannot be divorced from truth. What is the truth? We are sinners. What is another truth? Because God so loved the world that he gave his son. What is the other truth? The son died on the cross for our sins. And now when we believe, God can be what? Gracious to us. So the grace of God can never be divorced from the truth. Now I'm going to show you something which I saw this morning. I was thinking of this message. Okay, let's turn to Genesis chapter 3. Are you excited this morning? Yes! Yes, Genesis chapter 3. Okay? Verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. The words are written so beautifully. She gave it to her husband, and he ate. Now let's turn to Matthew 16. And this is what it says, Matthew 16, verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Now let's look at the two verses, right? We read both the verses, right? Which do you think looks more gracious? She gave it to her husband and he ate. How gracious he was, right? Correct? She shared it with her husband. How gracious. And here he is talking to Peter, and Peter is actually saying out of concern for him. And what is he saying? Get behind me, Satan. Which is more gracious? See, the first one looked gracious, but it plunged you and me into sin. Correct? The second account doesn't look gracious, but it plunged you and me into a sphere of grace. And that's what I want to say today. Right? That there is one aspect of grace where when somebody makes a mistake, And they know they are wrong, and we are gracious. But there is another aspect of grace which is from another kingdom. What is it? It's from another kingdom. It looks good. It looks like it's for you, but it is against the word of God. And what do we have to do? We have to what? We have to intercept it. In Numbers chapter 30, Moses spoke to the leaders of the tribes, and it's about vows, about a wife taking a vow, about a daughter taking a vow. And it is in that chapter where it gives the husband and the father the right to overrule. If he thinks that the wife's vow is not right, he can overrule. If he thinks that the daughter has spoken rashly and it's a vow, it's what? He can what? Overrule. Because that is a right which God gives husbands and fathers. Where we what? We intercept something in grace. And it doesn't look gracious, but it is gracious. Because it is according to the what? Truth. When Jesus cleaned out the temple, was it gracious? Was it gracious? No. But what was he doing? He was restoring back truth to them. In closing today, this is what I want to say. If you read the whole Old Testament, the whole Old Testament goes through this cycle. God gives definition. He tells people what he wants. Then there's a period of obedience. Then there is a period of deviation from the definition. Then there is God starts speaking through his men that they should correct themselves. And when they don't, then there is discipline. Then after the discipline is a period of repentance where people start coming, and then there is a restoration. Like the whole Old Testament is this cycle. This is this cycle. There's definition, there's obedience for a while, there's deviation, God is speaking, people are not listening, there's discipline, correct? Then there's repentance, right? And then there is what? Restoration. And we are back in fellowship. And in closing today, this is the key. What is grace? This is grace. That grace draws us to God. Grace doesn't propel us to sin. It draws us to the love of God. It draws us to the heart of God. Right? What is grace? As a Christian, I'm a Christian 24/7, 365 days of the year. Not only on Sunday morning in the church. What is grace? That I stand before God alone. And you know, this is the thing. This is the thing. There is a difference between living in the privileges of grace and being transformed by it. And you know what is transformation? In 2 Corinthians 3:18 is the word metamorpho, which means if you look at a wasp, it becomes a butterfly. You know, if you look at what it is, it becomes a totally different thing. And sometimes we are just not willing to let go. No, this is who I am. I'm a strong-willed man. I'm a strong-willed woman. I'm a strong man physically. I'm a strong woman physically. Or I'm mentally strong. Or I'm, you know, that we have this identity. And God wants to what? Transform us and make us into something totally what? Different. And here is Paul, arrogant man. And God knocks him off and makes him what? Saul. And that's what God wants to do to us. If we understand this. And if, when we get transformed, you know what will happen? Then there will be expression of grace in the body of Christ. The ability to forgive because we have been forgiven much. So in closing, let's go back to the cross. Every day we must go back to the cross and think about it, where he died for us and his blood was shed for us and all our sins are forgiven, past, present and future. Secondly, we need to keep growing in the grace. 2 Peter 3:8. That's why you're in church. That's why we take Bible school. We are growing in the word of God and growing in grace and being taken from infancy to maturity in Hebrews 5:11 to 14. Number three, we go out. I'm telling you, I would encourage each one of you, if you've never done outreach, never shared the gospel, please come out. Because that is what we are here for, to be a witness for the Lord. Right? And then, if you're a Bible college student and you're graduated, to really consider the fields. To really consider the fields. Because that's what we are here for. That's our eternal purpose. So let's consider this. This is grace. Right? This is grace. Where grace can also be when God corrects us. That is what? Grace. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. Speak to our hearts. Minister to us. In Jesus' name.